Pastor Michael, we're in a season on all things related to heaven and hell. So today's question is, what happens 1 minute after you die?
All right. So there's a pastor named Erwin Lutzer, and he wrote a book called 1 Minute After You Die. And he has this statement. It's super piercing, gets right to the heart of the matter. And he says, 1 minute after you die, you will either be elated or terrified. It's like, goodness gracious. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. I think a lot of people are hoping that after you die, you'll be able to kind of see the land, the spiritual land, like what's really going on. I choose this or that, but that is not the way the Bible teaches eternal life happens. We make a decision about our eternal life before we're dead. And then when we die, we realize immediately where our eternal destiny is going to be. Now, on this season on heaven and hell, we are going to break down a whole bunch of misconceptions. And let's start with like one of the first misconceptions. The misconception is that when I die, that I will go, if I have not trusted in Christ, to hell forever. And that when I die, I will go to heaven forever. And here's kind of the reality. Hell doesn't technically exist yet. It's on the new earth, and it's going to be created for the devil and his angels. Heaven does exist. It's a spiritual place, but it's not where we're going to live forever. We are Easter people, which means we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and then in turn, we will rise bodily and physically from the dead. And the Bible teaches a double resurrection, that not just that Christians will be resurrected to physical bodies, but non-Christians will be resurrected with eternal bodies, some to everlasting damnation and some to everlasting life. So this idea here that like once you die, you're going to be in the place you're going to be forever is actually not biblical. So what happens is when you die, your body and your soul are separated from each other. And you see this naturally. If you've ever seen a dead body, you see what a body looks like without a soul. And if you have trusted in Christ while you've been alive, if you believed in his life, death, and resurrection, truly, then you will be in heaven, a spiritual place with God, waiting until Jesus comes back and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. If you have rejected Jesus, if you have not trusted in him, we call it hell. We're going to unpack this as the season goes on, but you go to a place of torment, of separation from God. And so in Luke chapter 16, Jesus, he explains this principle through a story. And the story is about two men who died. One went to a place of suffering. The other went to a place of paradise or joy. And there was a chasm that separated the two of them. And the one who went to the place of suffering, it's a spiritual place. He didn't want to be there. In fact, he wanted the guy who was in the good side to go back and warn his family, tell them, warn them, because this is real. And he knew he couldn't get out of it. There was no opportunity for him to make another decision at that point. And so the story is, it's a really helpful story to explain that when our bodies and spirits are separated, there is a place our souls go to, but it is temporary until the judgment and the resurrection. But here's the deal. When you die, you'll either be in a place of paradise. Remember Jesus, the thief on the cross, says, today you'll be with me in paradise. His soul was going to be in the presence of Jesus. But the other thief was not going to be in that paradise. He was going to be in a place of suffering. You'll know immediately what your eternal destiny is going to be. And all of it is based on whether or not you have trusted in Jesus. Ryan, do you remember what Paul says? He says, to be absent from the body is what?
It's to be present with the Lord.
Right. And so is he talking to everybody? No, he's talking to believers who have trusted in Christ. And kind of this is the principle. We learn this about the thief and the cross, the two thieves and the cross, if you will. We learn this from the parable of the two guys who the story, well, some people actually think it's a true story. It might be. I mean, he's Jesus, so he probably knows these kinds of things. Some people think it's a parable describing what actually goes on in the afterlife, you know? But either way, 1 minute after you die, you will either be, as Erwin Lutzer says, elated or terrified. And your destiny is not determined by how good you were. It is determined by what you did with Jesus. Did you apologize to him? Did you trust him as your God and Savior? Have you believed in his life, death, and resurrection for your sins in your place? Or do you not trust in him? And here's, I think this is striking. the devil believes in the gospel,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't trust in the gospel.
Yeah.
The devil knew Jesus was God. The devil knows Jesus died on the cross for sins.
Yep.
But the devil has no regard for that. He has no belief in it. He has no confidence and love for him. So this idea that all you have to have is like a mental agreement mm-hmm. is not what the Bible means by faith or trust.
Mm-hmm.
It means that not only do I agree in my mind, but my heart is submissive and believes and loves God and is trusted in him for forgiveness of sins. And so this is actually great news because you don't have to wonder whether or not you're going to be elated or terrified. In fact, the Apostle John writes, I write these things to you so that you may know that you're saved.
Yeah.
And God wants you to have this confidence that when you close your eyes, just like the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's really great news.
I imagine some of our listeners might, like, if we go back to something that you said, they might mm-hmm. be curious, because you said hell is going to be a place that's going to be in the new heaven and new earth mm-hmm. that's created for the devil and his angels mm-hmm. and anybody who doesn't trust in Jesus. So their question might be, well, then when you die now, mm-hmm. if it says that we're going to be in a place of torment, then what is that? But I think, and we'll probably talk about this throughout the season, but the importance of focusing on the fact that being separated from Jesus is eternal torment.
Yep.
We have no categories for what life is like without God in the picture, but that's what hell is. That's what eternal torment is being separated from him relationally and not having any choice anymore because you've already made your decision. And once you die, like you said, there's no other decision to be made. Being separated from God's presence, that is suffering. And hell is a real place, like you said, that will be in the new heaven and new earth.
Yep.
But I would imagine somebody would be like, well, then what is the suffering that we experience before that new heaven and new earth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's being separated from God's presence, mm-hmm. like away from the presence of Jesus. And we see that in that passage mm-hmm. that we read of those two men, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was suffering because he just was removed from God's presence. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't necessarily know exactly what that looks like. Was it real or was it a parable? But I think that's an important, like, point, and people are probably, I would imagine somebody might be like wondering what that looks like.
Yeah. So. We're going to get into the details.
Yeah.
And the interesting part about hell is that Jesus talks about it a lot in the Old Testament. All of Jesus's vocabulary and descriptors of hell come from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually, he didn't just make up these ideas. He's literally just quoting essentially Isaiah and a handful of other prophets describing like the Lord already told us what the future hell is going to look like, you know, but no matter how you slice it, it's terrible and period. And nobody wants that. But and then the point of talking about hell is not to scare people into heaven, but to show them the consequences and the weight of your sin are everlasting and terrible. You may buy into the delusion that what I do here is not a big deal. It didn't hurt anybody else. But sin against the holy God is an infinite matter. The entire spirit of the age, kind of influenced by the demonic realm, is geared at minimizing,
downplaying
the badness, the evil of what sin has accomplished. But God, the word of God is saying, no, we actually have to elevate the severity of it so that you understand how evil it is. And then also how good the gospel is
and how holy our God is.
Yeah. And so it's huge. And so you and me as like preachers, and even in our own hearts, we're constantly battling a culture that says, who cares? Not that big of a deal.
mm-hmm.
And then even worse for Christians, it's like, well, I'm going to heaven anyways. So what's a little enjoyment here? The blood of Christ covers it, which is a terrible thought.
It's a very dangerous place to be.
Yeah. Most people don't say that out loud, but that is how they think.
Yeah. That's very dangerous. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to more episodes in this season and I appreciate that.